I want to greet each one of you in Jesus' name. Glad you're here. And by the way, lest anybody misconstrue this, we do like to listen to Ernie preach, Jason and I. We're just trying to give him a break here for a little while. So he was going to preach today. But then I thought with my schedule, maybe it worked better. And then as I talked to him, it sounded like he wasn't quite sure how it would go anyway. So I thought maybe that was God telling me to do it. So that's why I'm here again. As I get into this message, one thing I want to be clear to everyone here is, as I relate to you evidently, sometimes some things cross my mind. So if anything I say sounds like it's directed at you, maybe a conversation I had with you stirred some of these thoughts, but it's not that I'm directing this at anyone. This message was not born out of a desire to get rid of anyone in my life. It comes from a tendency I see in myself that concerns me, and I would like for me, and possibly provoke you, to ask yourself the question, where do you find yourself in these things? Okay, so I'm going to start. I have two lists on the board here. My red marker's not the best, so if you can't read that word, it's liabilities. As some of you know, I'm not thinking I'm that wise or smart at all when it comes to accounting and some of that things type of thing, but I probably do enjoy some aspect of it. And so I've got one word, asset. Would you say an asset is something good? Something profitable? So if you know anything about a business without any assets is a sort of a smokescreen. It's not much there. And there's sometimes some online businesses and things that may be worth a lot, but basically have no assets, such as at least other than what we call blue sky. I'd like to think of some assets. I'm going to be talking about people. Now, it's always a bit dangerous when you start talking about people and you have the columns assets and liabilities. I get that. So I'm not necessarily going to be putting any specific person in these categories, but I'd like for you to consider these categories as I share some of this with you. So we say assets are good, right? We all know enough about business that a business should have some assets. In fact, in the state of Arkansas, being a commercially licensed contractor, if I don't have a certain amount of assets in my business, they say, "Go, too bad for you. You're in the wrong state, in the wrong place." They require me to have a certain amount of assets. Now, liabilities, I guess no business can avoid liabilities, just as in life, we probably don't avoid them on other fronts. At the same time, if that liability becomes too much, finally, it's a problem. So a liability we generally see as a negative, maybe in a business sense, it's not 100%. It might indicate if I have a lot of liabilities that I'm just doing a lot. At the same time, liabilities can be a problem. So this comes, I'd like to share two things with you that some friends have shared with me. The first one was a number of months ago. Visiting with Josh, he's had a saying, I'd never quite heard it this way before. And so I got him to repeat it a couple times and I wrote it down. He said this, hard times make strong men make easy times make weak men make hard times. So did you get that one? Maybe you're like me, you need it repeated. I think it goes for women too, you just go ahead and throw yourself in there as well, ladies. So let's start again. Hard times make strong men or women. The little bit of history and of life that I have been privileged to see, I would say that's right. Probably a lot of the people I admire the most, you could say, went through some hard times, right? Some difficult times. Hard times makes a strong person. It goes on to say that strong men or strong women make for easy times. In other words, because of the difficulty that this person went through, they are part of the solution in making life easier for others in the future because they understand what it is to have a difficult time. And so they can be a comfort, a strength, a help when you face something like what they may have faced, for example. It goes a lot of areas. It goes, I think, yes, all over. So now, switching, it says easy times. So now you have a strong person or persons or culture, and they built something strong. Now, over time, these easy times that these strong people created create weak people. And I don't think we have to look real far, do we? I'm not trying to promote anything political or anything, but in a historical sense, the generation born after World War II was called the Great Generation. And you know, they did do a lot. And yet, I'm not so sure that some of the things that they instituted did are possibly not part of the nation's weakness today. That strength is ending up in weakness in the following generations. Easy times make weak men. And I'll just give you one illustration from my life. I knew probably the most wealthy person I knew as a young boy. And he had, five sons. And, I say I'm sure I might have known others that were more wealthy, but I personally visited. We knew these people. They were part of a church not far from us. And it was interesting, over the years watching those boys, some were older and a couple younger than what I am, and all but one of those boys would not be people that I would encourage you to follow their path. And even that one has not done extremely well financially. You follow what I'm saying? Isn't it strange that someone that you think would have had a wonderful example on how to make money, spend money? And the very saddest thing about that is it almost seems like the boys ended up taking dad along out with them. Easy times make weak men. Weak men make hard times. So if you tell me something like this, my mind immediately asks the question, and that is, are we stuck in a cycle that cannot be broken? I'm going to run out of space. I'm going to have to write smaller. So I'd like for you to, what do you think? Are we, as a country, shall we say, in the United States, or in the broader scope of things, is this a cycle that we'll just endlessly repeat? Is there any hope for us? I would say we're in pretty easy times, historically speaking. So does that mean that I am a weak man because I'm living in this time? What do you say? Do I need to grow up in hard times to be a strong person? If times are relatively easy, am I destined to be a weak man or woman? Not sure? Well, keep thinking. Here's something else a friend shared. It's not original, actually, in either of these. That wasn't original with Josh either, and this wasn't original with this other friend, but I'll just read it. I shared it with some of you. Two kinds of people. There are two kinds of people on earth today. Just two kinds of people. No more, I say. Not the sinner and saint, for it's well understood. The good are half bad, and the bad are half good. Not the rich and the poor, for to rate a man's wealth, you must first know the state of his conscience and health. Not the humble and proud, for in life's little span, who puts on vain airs is not counted a man. Not the happy and sad, for the swift flying years bring each man his laughter and each man his tears. No, the two kinds of people on earth, I mean, are the people who lift and the people who lean. Wherever you go, you will find earth's masses always divided in just these two classes. And oddly enough, you will find two, I ween, or I think. There's only one lifter to 20 who lean. In which class are you? Are you easing the load of overtaxed lifters who toil the road? Or are you a leaner who lets others bear your portion of labor, worry, and care? Written by Ella Wheeler Wilcox. So let's put one other word up on here, and that's actually my title. Lifters and Leaners. Lifters and Leaners. So before I tell you what I think, do you want to tell me what you think? Are we stuck in this cycle? Okay. So you're going to stick conditions in there, which is fine. So I'm going to put another word up here, and I know I spoke often about this word, but somehow Joe still needs to focus on this word, and that is the word choice. Choice. While difficult times evidently bring difficult choices, I believe even everyday choices in easy times create trajectories of weakness or strength. Do you agree? I believe even everyday choices in easy times create trajectories of weakness or strength. How do I choose what I choose? Why do I choose what I choose? What are some of the defining characteristics of a weak man or woman? A leaner, a liability. What are some of the defining characteristics of a strong man or woman? A lifter, an asset. Okay, so let's get into a few of these characteristics. I'm going to put a word up here. It's not in the Bible, but I think the Bible talks about it, and that's the word entitlement. Put it under the liabilities column here of our accounting. Over here, I'm going to put undeserving. Now, if you think this is fun to talk about, you should try it. But I'm going to just say, I guess, what I think, and you all can correct me later. But I believe a leaner has a sense of entitlement. A leaner is focused on self. It is my right. You owe it to me. I may feel hurt or rejected if you deny my wish or desire. Most wouldn't say this, but a leaner gives off the aroma, if you will, that you should be honored that you have the opportunity to serve me. And I'll give you an example of that, and it's an example somewhat removed from our circles, likely. A little bit later, I might give you an example that gets a little closer to my toes. I had a cousin some years ago. He had stopped at a truck stop with his wife there. He's driving a big truck. And this fellow came around knocking on the truck doors trying to beg, I guess, panhandler, whatever. So he knocked on their truck door, and he's like, anything, you know, anything helps. So he's a little bit like me. He's hesitant to just throw his hard-earned money away, I guess. So he thought, well, he don't know this man, but he will give him some food. So my cousin remembered this for years. And I probably would have too. Beggar, if you will, had a sense of entitlement. And I sort of wish it would have stopped with him. An entitlement attitude about life scares me. It's one thing I say, if my parents beat anything into me, it's probably this thing to avoid entitlement, yet at the same time, I struggle with it. I'm not trying to put this on someone else. I struggle with it at times. Shifting a little bit, a lifter has a humble sense of undeservedness. A lifter focuses on others. They see themselves as undeserving, therefore, they are undemanding, grateful recipients, and enthusiastic givers. They give off the aroma of, I am honored to serve you. Okay, let's look at some scriptures before I talk any more of Joe's thoughts. We'll start in Luke, and I'll keep these in order. So let's go to Luke chapter 14, verse 8. Luke 14, 8. Christ here, talking about a wedding of all things. And I guess they didn't have ushers in their weddings because it sounds like you could go sit at the wrong place. and then somebody showed up and told you to go sit somewhere else. But I think what he's talking about here goes for much more than sitting at the wrong place at the wedding. So let's think about this maybe a little differently than we do sometimes. Luke 14, verse 8. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room or the most honorable place, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. In other words, don't go make yourself the best man. Your friend may have somebody else he wants there. And he that bade thee come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Now I know that we sort of have a twist flung in here that, you know, if you go try to make yourself the best man at a wedding and the groom says, what are you doing? Get out of here. You can go sit on the back bench. You know, it's sort of a certain amount of embarrassment that goes along with that. Now, if you're sitting on the back bench and he says, my best man didn't show up here, would you fill in? You're like, oh, that's great. You know, so there's a natural shame that goes with it. But I think as Christians, it needs to go beyond that. There's a principle here of always being willing to be the least. Don't exalt yourself. What does it say in another place? I think maybe I actually have that verse. You know, there's such a tendency, and I think it comes from entitlement mentality, really I do, to try to get some attention, to try to be the one that I feel an important role here. Give a little recognition to me. That kind of thinking. Acts 20, verse 34 and 35. Acts 20, verse 34. We have Paul speaking to the Ephesian church leaders. One of his last trips through there. And he says this about how he lived his life. Acts 20, verse 34. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So Paul didn't only work for himself. Here was a traveling evangelist that spent his life for the spread of the gospel. But he says, my hands didn't only work for me, my needs, but also for my group, those that traveled with me. And he says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, following my example, ye ought to support the weak, or those that don't have what they need, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, in the last number of months, I've had some interesting conversations on being a receiver with some of you here, and they're great. That's good. But I do love that Christ said this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, I really think for a sincere, wholehearted, let's go back to the word mature, the youth at our house, and we talked about that a bit. Mature person, whatever that is, will find it a bit difficult to receive at times. Because they know the greater blessing is in giving. Now that said, do we learn, do we all need to receive? Absolutely we do. That can be pride as well. Romans 15, verse 1, and to the first part of the verse. Romans 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. I'm going on through 3 here. That's the first part of verse 3. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. Are you noticing who the focus needs to be on? I don't think a leaner can do that. Okay, last one in this section, Philippians 2, verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. And I'm going to read this as our Bibles have it written, then I'll read it a different way it could be worded that I came up with. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let me read that to you maybe in ways we would talk today a little more. Selfish ambition or conceit should never be our motivator. But in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Do not only consider yourself, but keep the interest of others and what is good for them in focus. Wow. Stay with me here, please, and consider closely your own life, and I'll try to stick to myself. But if you tend to feel that others owe you anything, in other words, you're unhappy if they do not do or give what you would want them to do or give. If you are offended when others get more help with their work project, get more help when they have a financial need, get more attention than what you do. If you feel that your friendships are rather heavily dependent on your efforts and your friends don't do a lot in relation to it. If you feel like others should be happy to help you and contribute to your cause or your work. If you feel others are fortunate to have the asset of you in their lives. May I suggest to you, you had better be very, very careful. Very, very careful. You are headed down the road of feeling entitled. The entitlement problem is huge and growing. Look around you. It is promoted and encouraged on so many fronts. It is affecting how we think and how we relate. Did any of you get checks from the president or whatever in your mailboxes in the last 3 years, let's say? What are they doing? They're trying to indicate that because maybe it's a bit of a difficult time, you're entitled to your government's help. Consider this. In the broader culture, first of all, many people have gone from expecting government to keep law and order to expecting the government to care and provide for them. Many people have gone from being thankful for good employment to feeling their employer is rather blessed to have them. Many employers fail to appreciate and reward faithfulness and commitment. Many people have gone from being there for the good of their neighbor to feeling that their neighbor is there for their exploitation. To look at what happens in big cities when people start running amok. We as Christians have not been unscathed or untouched by the negativity of entitlement. Many people, just look in our churches now, have gone from being humbly grateful for the role of the church and the brotherhood in their lives to being offended, to being bitter when they feel misunderstood or misused or maybe simply just not happy with the way things are. Many people have forgotten the awesome privilege of having our own schools, of being able to educate our own children, to having dissatisfaction with the school board, with the teachers, because things aren't done just the way they would do them. How does this work out? How's this working for us? Let's again go out in the broader culture. Friday evening at, I think it was 8:22, my phone rings. I have a phone system now that if you feel you have an emergency, you have to press 1 to get through. Because way too many people called me. So anyway, this person got through. I didn't answer. It was a number that I sort of know who I answer and don't that time of the day. They left a message saying that their garage door has a very small problem and they would like to see me out there Saturday to fix it. Maybe I'm an entitled person, I don't know, but that rubbed me just a little bit the wrong way. I thought they were entitled, to be honest with you. I'm glad for customers. That would be a life and death situation if they were under their garage door or something, or they need to get out to go to a funeral. I think I would have been willing to help them, but I decided I'm not even going to return that call till Monday morning. If they get somebody else, that's fine. But you know, most of my customers, thankfully, aren't that way. But I do have a certain percentage that just think I'm doing nothing other than waiting for them to call me. That's an entitlement thing. And it's fine. I get maybe they don't understand, and that's fine. I'm not demeaning them. But that is what I'm talking about. You know, it comes a little closer. And I bless you all for not being this way. And I maybe shouldn't even say this, but I have been. One thing I have learned, and I try not to rate churches, but one thing that makes me very grateful for my home church is how we treat evangelists. You know, I don't say this complainingly. I've been very blessed. But I am shocked at the number of churches that somehow think that you can pack up a family and travel for free across the country and spend a week with them and it don't cost you hardly anything. I think that comes from an entitlement problem in our hearts as well. I'll give you another illustration. I had a close friend who very much struggled with, I'm going to say, drawing boundaries in his life. And so somebody else in his congregation asked him to do something for them. And he actually got enough gumption up to tell him that he's afraid he's just too busy. And the person that his fellow church member there that had asked him to do this became, how shall I kindly say that, somewhat out of sync with him. Because he thought he was just, he really thought he had plenty of time to do it, and he just didn't see why he didn't want to do it for him. Who really had the problem there? Happen to know that man well enough to know that he's not a selfish person. And I think the other fellow could have known that if he wanted to. But anyway, we'll let it with him. Think about it carefully. You know, I know another case happened to one of my brothers. He had rented a truck, and he was driving, and it was a doable trip. He wasn't wore out or anything. And he had invited a friend to ride with him, and this friend insisted that he needed to drive this truck. It was a pretty new rental truck, and he wanted, I guess, to have the experience. And my brother's like, well, I didn't really ask whether you could or anything. We should probably just let it. And anyway, the other fellow made such a fuss, he finally left him drive it. Guess what? He hits a deer while he's driving. He turns around, and it was my brother's duty to pay for the deer damage. Interesting. Can that come out from a heart that doesn't have a sense of entitlement? You know, it goes, and I want to be careful here. I know I touched this on a little bit after Bible school. I was thinking about that aspect of it too. I do not mind at all if a Bible school student asks me, when do I get accepted, or, you know. But it makes a big difference on how you ask. And it's one of the board members recently told me, he said, these young people come to Bible school, they just think they're entitled to it. And it's becoming a real problem. You know, we just aren't entitled to things. Excuse me. An entitled person will struggle with thankfulness. For a thankful person will realize that they are an unworthy recipient. Therefore, entitlement is a direct link to unthankfulness. And I'm very concerned that I said something about youth, and I think I have it later on in my notes. You know, I'm not focusing on children or youth because they learn. They operate the way they've been taught. And I have been seeing way too much entitlement attitude in myself and in people my age. Older ones, I guess, don't have any of it, thankfully. Let that with them. But it is a problem. And unless I get a hold of this problem in my heart and in my life, it's something I will pass on to my children, and they likely will do it even more than I do. You know, I've seen it in things as simple as, I think it's great to share, and I love how some of you are a real example in how you loan out your things. God bless you for that. But if I am the one wanting to borrow, I'm not entitled to what you have. I feel you have a perfect right, I don't like that word, on my side of it, to tell me it doesn't suit or you'd rather not. Or I guess one thing I've done with things that are pretty precious to me is I'll come do it for you. I don't like to say just no, because the Bible does say, from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. But for me as a borrower to force that verse on others, don't do it. That's the sense of entitlement. And you know, if I borrow something, it better not get used like my other tools do. It better have a degree or two more of respect. And if there's an accident, more of repair. You know, a learner is a drag on those who share with them. Have you ever thought about that? You know that fellow that cursed my cousin out at the truck stop? Was he a joy to share with? Absolutely not. A leaner, is a drag on those who share with them. No matter how much you give, you're still coming up short. No matter how much you invest in them, there's still a deficit. No matter how far you go out of your way, it's not really appreciated or understood, at least not more than on a very light level. The results of feeling entitled are always negative. They have no place in the heart of a child of God. And again, I'm speaking to you from my heart. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. But I think we better be aware of this problem here as well. And like I said, while it may be most visible in the younger people, it didn't start there. What are we going to do about this? Okay, switching. A lifter has a sense of humble undeservedness, focusing on others. They see themselves as undeserving. Therefore, they are undemanding, grateful recipients, and enthusiastic givers. A lifter knows that his, her value comes from Christ and in what Christ has invested in and for them. They know there was, is nothing in them that earned or deserved his love. Yet they, in grateful acceptation and adoration, allow that love to shape and mold them. They're continually humble and grateful, knowing that this love is something they could never be earned or deserved. And this gratitude, this thankfulness, causes them to be great channels of blessing to others. A lifter is committed to doing and giving regardless of how others respond. You know, I'm not going to tell you what happened there with my cousin, but if my cousin was a lifter, I think he still offered the food in spite of the cursing. Same time, I don't necessarily feel he should have offered more, probably. A lifter gives because of what God and Christ have given for him or for her. A lifter is who he or she is because it's right, because it's good. They give in thankfulness, for they humbly realize that they have been given oh so very much. Their humble, grateful attitude causes them to give, for giving is who they are and what they do. They are a joy for others to share with, for they are undemanding, they feel undeserving and thankful. Okay, that's one point on, let's move on to, I've got two more. They're shorter, thankfully for you. Let's go to Matthew 23, verse 1. Matthew 23. So leaners expect others to deliver. They expect others to deliver on their expectations, whereas lifter delivers more than they expect. I run into myself here. Let's see. So a leaner expects others to deliver really more than what they want to give. And a lifter delivers more than they expect. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, or have his rule, his position. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Notice their expectations of others. And yet they're renegating on their part of it. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at the feast. See that? And the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man father upon earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Let's go on and think about this a bit. Leaners expect others to deliver. They grumblingly wait on others. They would like to see things done, yeah, sure. They would like to see things happen, but not by me. They have high expectations for others and low expectations for themselves. And it's more convenient that way. Their way gives endless reasons and excuses for dissatisfaction over the state of affairs. Learners always see the source of the problem in someone else. Learners would have a wonderful life and wonderful relationships in life if it wasn't for others. When almost everyone, let me just ask a question this way, rephrase that. If almost everyone in your life is falling on their face, is the problem with them or with me? If almost everyone is disappointing you, if almost no one measures up to your expectations, do you think it is perhaps just time for you to stop? Stop. Stop considering others. Start considering yourself. I know some people that can endlessly pick apart the work, the way that others fill their position or do their task. And if I can say it kindly, I've become more and more convinced it's generally the biggest problem is the person doing the talking, not the others. Lifters. Lifters deliver more than what they expect. While they encourage and assist others, they're not saying don't do things necessarily. They're focused on God. They're focused on doing and being grateful for His love. This leads them to accept less than perfection in others while seeking to grow and perfect into the perfect image of Christ themselves. Lifters, while encouraging others to grow and do, are accepting and loving to those who sincerely desire growth. Lifters, coach, instruct, cheer, encourage, and help others in the path of life. Okay, one next point now. Is leaners. Leaners have friends like unto themselves. Leaners have friends that are like themselves. This other one's going to be long. Let's see. How should I cut that down? I'll just do this. Lifters are friends to all. And I'm not going to rehearse my friendship message from a couple weeks ago. I think this is an added nuance, possibly. Let's go to Proverbs 4. Have a number of verses in Proverbs and two in Matthew. Proverbs 4, verse 13. The next will be in Proverbs, so you can just go in order. Proverbs 4, verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now, I don't know about you. I imagine you're human like I am. I know about myself. And that is, I don't particularly like instruction all the time. But it says, take fast hold. It's my job to hang on. It's my job to seek. It's my job to find the instruction that I need. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That verse speaks for itself. What kind of friends do you have? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Let me add one thing here. Wise friends are not always comfortable friends. In fact, probably otherwise. I would say foolish friends are pretty comfortable. Wise friends are going to stretch you. Sometimes they're going to hurt you, but they're always there growing you. Proverbs 19, verse 20 and 21. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end, or as you go through life. There are many devices or ideas and plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel or the way of the Lord, that shall stand. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Let me rephrase that or put it into other words. The wounds a faithful friend gives are beneficial, but the profuse and seeming kindness of an enemy is harmful. Okay, and I think you should know these verses by memory. If you don't, it's your job to memorize them, right? So you don't need to turn to this, but Matthew 5, verse 46 and 47. Matthew 5, 46. For if ye love them which love you, those that you just have this close thing with, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans, the uneducated, the unlearned, do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, those that you're comfortable with, those in your peer group, those that you click with, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Of course they do. Learners have friends who are like themselves. Leaners have friends who are like themselves. Leaners are fearful and insecure in who they are and in what they are. They gather their cloak of fearfulness around themselves as they lash out in condemnation at those who differ. They cannot endure a difference of opinion, for it threatens their fake self-security. All men must agree to agree with them or face the danger of scoff and ridicule. Leaners will keep others at arm's length, especially those who are not good enough. They're just not, they don't quite fit with me, my ideology, my friends. They will also keep at arm's length those who would stretch or grow them. That's what leaners do. Now, lifters. Lifters are friends to all. I would like to say that lifters especially seek out those who would help them grow and look for those who need friends. Lifters seek out friends who will strengthen their weak points, knock off their sharp corners, and inspire them to grow. Lifters are secure in the truth they know. In that security, they're open to hearing, to learning, to growing. Where there are differences of opinion and thought, they will carefully hear and consider what the other has to share. They will not quickly or lightly change with every wind. But if they see merit, if they see additional truth, they will humbly and gladly grow in knowledge of that truth. There's much more that could be said about leaners and lifters. One thing I do want to just make clear. I do not feel that we're trying to promote that a lifter never needs other people in their life. That's not what I'm saying. But a lifter doesn't live by leaning on other people, right? There's all times I've leaned on people, and God bless the people that supported me when I needed it, right? But at the same time, make sure as you go through your life that you're not a leaner continually. It's a big difference. There's moments of stress, of hard times, and that's why God has put church family first, I think. Family, maybe family second, at least if you're blessed that way. But remember, be a lifter. And you know, the thing that scares me, if that poem's anywhere close to right, the possibility of me being a leaner is 20 times higher than of me being a lifter. Am I one who makes easy times difficult by leaning on those around me? Am I one who makes difficult times easy as I seek to lift others? May I just reread that poem? Two kinds of people. There are just two kinds of people on earth today. Two kinds of people. No more, I say. Not the sinner and the saint, for it's well understood the good are half bad and the bad are half good. Not the rich and the poor, for to rate a man's wealth you must first know the state of his conscience and health. Not the humble and proud, for in life's little span he who puts on vain airs is not counted a man. Not the happy and sad, for the swift flying years bring each man his laughter and each man his tears. No, the two kinds of people on earth, I mean, are the people who lift and the people who lean. Wherever you go, you will find earth's masses are always divided in just these two classes. And oddly enough, you will find two, I ween or I know, there's only one lifter to 20 who lean. In which class are you? Am I? Are you easing the load of overtaxed lifters who toil the road? Are you a leaner who lets others bear your portion of labor, worry, and care? Am I a leaner, a liability to those God has put in my life? Or am I a lifter, an asset to those in my life? Let's kneel for prayer.